Today I talked to Melissa St. Hilaire about manifesting meeting our music idols, mediumship, and magic of land areas such as Los Angeles and Massachusetts, where she's from. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, happy to be here.
Okay, so today I have Melissa St. Hilaire. She's a writer. She's a psychic medium, a jewelry maker, I would say, a podcast host. And from what I've heard from other podcasts, LA's premier seance host. So I just wanted to have you come on and talk about, you know, yourself and your work. And I thought it was kind of funny of a connection that I wanted to point out too is you have some pictures on your Instagram of you and Bono, which I thought was pretty awesome. And I wanted to bring up the fact that I feel like witches have this connection of meeting like their music people that they want to.
Oh my gosh, that's so true.
Because I was telling in my last episode how I was like, yeah, I like how I started doing my art is I would just like give it away to like when I go to concerts, I'd like meet the people I try to kind of push to meet. I'm not like crazy or anything, but,
right.
You know, still try to like make the connection. And like I have all these different connections of growing up as a kid. And I'm like, wow, I don't think I did this all by chance. Like there's, you know, there's something else there.
Oh my God, completely and totally. And it's kind of, thank you for bringing me that up actually, because I have kind of a silly thing that I talk about with some of my friends who are like more in the witchy realm, but they're also U2 fans. And we have this kind of weird thing. And like, I don't even know if I'm like, I might have to turn in my U2 fan card for like revealing this secret. But we have this weird thing where we just know when we can meet him. It's like, I'm serious. And like so many people my whole life, like haven't believed me, but like the last time I met him was in San Jose, and I had actually no intention of meeting him. I was in a really bad mood. A friend had just passed away. So I was like, not really in concert mode. And, but I had the tickets and they were expensive. So I was going to go.
Yeah.
And that morning I woke up and it was like, I sat bolt upright in bed. And it was like this direct message beamed into my brain. And it said, if you get up right now and get to the venue, you can talk to Bono. And I was like, okay. So I told my friend who we were sharing an Airbnb. And I was like, so we need to go to the venue right now. And he's like, oh, did you get a feeling? Because he knows.
Like,
yeah. So we like scrambled to the car, raced to the venue. And we were going to get lunch. And I was like, no, can't get lunch. Must hop out of. I literally jumped out of the car at a red light because I got such a strong feeling. And I ran over and then, of course, had like an amazing meeting with him and everything. But it's just
that's
like
awesome.
Right. It's like one of those weird things. And I always thought that I was like imagining it. But then when I shared this with some of my other friends that are in the similar fandom, they're like, oh, no, that's totally a real thing. It's like we totally have that.
That's amazing,
right?
And then I think from one of your previous guest appearances you were talking about how too you talked to one of my favorite people who we share a birthday with, David Bowie, after he'd passed.
Oh my gosh, yes, I just got chills thinking about that. Oh my gosh, that was really wild. So like two of the ladies who were in my seance group that particular night are huge Bowie fans, and at least two. I mean, all of us are fans, but two of them were like over the top, you know? And then weirdly, one of my old dear friends who passed away a couple of years ago, unfortunately, he claimed to know Bowie in real life. Now, this particular guy was one of those people who like, he had a lot of fantastical stories that probably half of them weren't true, but like half of them were. So it was really, really hard to tell. You know those people?
Yeah.
But I think the Bowie one might have been real because he had a hand drawing from Bowie. It was signed from Bowie and it was made out to him. And he had like a couple, like a guitar, I think, and an amp that he had been gifted by Bowie. Anyway, so I had completely forgotten about that connection and we were doing the seance. And then when Bowie came in, and gosh, I wish we had recorded that seance. But when he came in, you know, some of us were kind of like, afterwards we were like, was that really him? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, because you know, you never know, like they're like lots of times they say when you're doing seances and what have you, especially we weren't using a Ouija board that night, but especially with Ouija boards, you can get a lot of entities that will pretend to be people that you know or celebrities or whatever. They're just tricky tricksters that are just
Yeah.
having fun, you know? So, like, we were totally like, oh gosh, you know, how do I know? And then I was reminded that my friend who passed away, who visits me all the time and makes my lights flicker and does all kinds of stuff, was friends with Bowie. And I was like, oh my gosh, that makes like, because then that would make sense. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just a random fan like calling in a celebrity who's passed on. It's like, I have a friend who is also on the other side who knew him in real life. So it's actually like moderately feasible.
Right, yeah.
But
And
it was
it's
really
crazy.
cool.
I went to my first seance, actually, I think after hearing you on a podcast, and it was crazy to hear what they said about one of my friends that passed on. I just, oh my God, started crying because I was like, that's her. That's exactly her.
Isn't it amazing? And
It's
it's so
so crazy.
funny. And it's so funny because, like, my whole life I've sort of struggled, and I've talked about this in my classes and stuff. Like, I've struggled my whole life with skepticism, you know, because I was raised non-religious and I was raised to be very science-minded. I watched Star Trek and Doctor Who when I grew up and things like that, you know. So, like, when all this stuff was happening to me when I was little, like, half the time I'd be like, it's my imagination. And the other half of the time, it's like I knew it was real, but like I felt like I couldn't admit that, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
So
And
like,
there's
oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was gonna say, and that makes sense to people too. Like the thing that just popped in my head, and I think I'd mentioned this in the class that I'd taken from you too, is when you're a kid and you have imaginary friends and you're like you think they're real. I'm putting pieces together now. I'm like, oh, those were probably actually spirits that I was talking to when I was a kid. Because
Right?
any reading I've had, they've been like, did you see something when you were little that scared you? Maybe that's why you're not really connecting how you want to be. Like, because I'm fully ready to like communicate with spirits, and like more in like I've taken, some different classes, and I think I've got the handle of, kind of communicating with my guides and understanding the messages they're giving. But like,
Right.
mediumship is a whole nother ball
Oh,
game.
completely and totally. Yeah.
So I think these little connections from, it's like, okay, well, that makes sense now because, especially with you, with your experience that you had from growing up.
And that's the funny thing, because like when I was little, people used to ask me all the time, like, and well, not just when I was little, but my whole life, people have always asked me, did you have imaginary friends when you were little? And when I was younger, I used to always say no, because when I was a little kid, they weren't imaginary to me. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? Like, I thought, like, when people said, did you have imaginary friends? I thought, like, I innocently took that as, oh, it's a friend that you purposefully invented and made up and then talked to, you know? And like, that never happened to me. Instead, I would just be like talking to spirits that were there, but So I'm sure that's actually like a good portion of most people's quote unquote imaginary friends, you know?
Yeah, and I totally have had that feeling ever since I was a kid too. I'm like, there's just something. And then there was like a weird thing that happened, and they just kind of went away one day, and I was just like, oh, that's kind of sad. Or it's just
Right,
kind of,
right.
it's like
We
just
can
different
move
things like
on.
that. Yeah.
Like, I have this belief that, like, and it's just a belief. Like, I have no way to, you know, confirm or deny it. But I kind of have this feeling that, like, sometimes these spirits that when they leave us, it's kind of like because we don't need them anymore for whatever reason, or they don't need us anymore, you know?
They kind of just out you kind of outgrow each other kind of thing, and they're like
Completely,
done
yeah.
teaching you what they're done there to teach you.
Yeah, totally.
So and you actually grew up in Massachusetts, is that right?
I did, yes,
That's
born and bred.
pretty and that I think that reflects on the American witch, because when everybody thinks of American witch, they think of Salem, Massachusetts, or the back east, that those type of days. And that's what I automatically thought of when I first heard your name and everything was Massachusetts, and then you said you were from there. Well, oh, that totally makes sense.
Right, yeah, like it's like, yeah, it's America's hometown, you know.
And now, what kind of stuff did you do there? As far as I remember, you mentioned on your podcast that you would hang out with your grandma, and she had some kind of gifts as well.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, here's the funny thing about my grandma, though. Like, honestly, I don't think that she would have ever used the word witch or medium or psychic or any of these things. Probably because, you know, there's been, you know, stigma around those, that terminology for years, right? Decades. But she had the gift, you know, she had these gifts. Like my mom told me not too long, well, a little while ago, but my mom told me that before I was born, my grandmother told her exactly what my, that I was going to be a girl and that I was going to have blonde hair and it was going to be straight and I was going to have brown eyes. Like weird stuff like that. And like, and if you looked at like, you know, my genetics and stuff, like I should have had dark hair that was curly and like blue eyes. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't, like what, you know, what I turned out to be, it doesn't really make sense, but it, so it's not like she just, you know, could easily guess how it would look. It was like she had a legit vision and saw it, you know?
That's awesome.
And like she used to also, like I know I've told this story to a couple people, but she used to always see fairies in the yard. And she used to always talk about, like, point them out to me. And I was little and I just, you know, it never occurred to me that any of this stuff would be considered weird or that I would be like judged for it later. When I was little, like I just accepted it. I was like, oh, of course there are fairies. And I'd look out and like she would say things like, you know, if you have a trinket, like a piece of jewelry or some little thing that's missing and you can't find it, it's probably because the fairies took it. And you know, you could bargain with them and like barter with them to get it
So she
and
knew all the tricks before you did, and kind of taught you the thing. You're like, okay, this all makes sense now. Like, I guess, I mean, if you've read through, you know, about fairies and stuff, that like all makes sense.
totally, yeah. And it's like, and I didn't even realize I was getting an education in fairy magic. You know what I mean? That was never told me. I just got one. And what's weird is that after I moved away from there, you know, there was something magical about the land there. Like I grew up on a farm, so you know, right off the bat, like it's a more exciting kind of land scenario, if that makes sense. But then like moving away from there, when I moved to LA, I remember at first feeling like, gosh, I'm not feeling the magic anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I still had my weird encounters with spirits and stuff, but it was like my magic wasn't there. And now that I have a house and in my own backyard, it's tiny, but it's my own backyard, damn it. And I can, you know, plant stuff. It's weird. Lately, I've been noticing like a return of fairies in my life, you
Oh,
know?
that's awesome.
Right. And so I've been done like little things. Like I've kind of experimented with it. Like I asked for something kind of recently that I don't want to say what I asked for, but I asked for something fairly recently and they freaking delivered it literally the next morning.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I was like, okay, this is real. And now I have to like honor them and leave like offerings. So I immediately went out and like, you know, made a little offering and stuff for them. But yeah, like all of this stuff is all from my grandmother.
And I've always felt that, like, I've never been to that part of the East Coast. I've been to New York a couple times, but I've never felt like a, but like certain places I've noticed that, like, I just have this pull towards to visit is like, is Massachusetts, because it just has like this, I don't know, it's something about the land too. I don't know. It's just like, I have this picturing in my mind of what like the land looks like, of like the, especially in the fall. Like, I guess for some reason, I just pictured that for the fall for some reason for that place. Like, but it just seems like there's a lot of energy in that area. And then also, since you moved to LA, I visited LA a bunch of times, and that place just has like this magnetic feel too. And I wanted to talk to you. Did you feel pulled to move to LA, or is it just something that you were kind of like making your way across the United States and decided to go there, or?
Well, oddly enough, it's a pull and it's been there my whole freaking life. So really, yeah, when I was little, I would oftentimes like, I don't know, I just to me like Venice, California just seems so magical with the canals and everything. And when I was, I think like I can't, I'm trying to remember the age range. I guess like a young, like a preteen and a teenager, I saw the Lost Boys and I also saw the Doors.
Oh, that, yeah, that's probably one of
Right.
the biggest inspirations to want to move to California.
Totally, like those two movies. I'm just like, oh my God, this place is perfect. But also, aside from, you know, entertainment, I also had, or shortly before I moved out here, I had this dream that California. I completely forgot about this dream until like literally right now, so I'm trying to remember it. But it was this weird, it was like a call. It was like there were these two giant lions, and they were sitting sphinx-like side by side, and between them was some kind of a golden pathway type of thing. And I feel like there was like a bunch of, I don't know, tall grass or something. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but it was there. And then in the distance, you could see the palm trees and like the ocean and everything. And I remember like waking up and being like, I have to go to California. And I believe also the lions had spoken to me. I can't remember specifically what they said, but it was something to the effect of, you know, the winds of the west are calling you or something poetic like that, you know? And so I was like, oh, I think I need to heed this. This is deep.
The image that I just thought of was that the Never Ending Story with those sphinx, the ladies that are kind of like, that's what I immediately thought. I'm like, oh yeah, they're totally probably like, and then, but yeah, it does have like this, like, and you said gold too. I'm like, anytime I think of LA, I think of like just like a gold for some reason. I don't know why. I was really wanting to move there up until just recently with COVID and everything, but I went last year to a concert, and anytime I've had experiences there, it's just been like crazy off the charts, kind of like weird magic experiences and stuff. But Long Beach, I loved Long Beach when I was there, and I was like, oh, this is where I'm gonna live. And then I decided, like, no, I think I need to live a little more away from people and more towards the mountains. So I'm thinking the Pacific Northwest is like, because I just have like again with the land, it has like this other like almost like prehistoric feeling there in the Pacific Northwest. I don't know how else to explain it. Like,
Oh my God, completely and totally. Like, especially like Big Sur and like around that area. And another place I felt a lot of magic was Mendocino.
oh wow.
Yeah, there's something there that's very, very magical and very old. And I don't know enough about Mendocino. I wish I should probably look into it. But
I'm writing that down to actually look
yeah, write it down
it
because if there's anything magical there, I would really like to know because every time I've gone there, I have just had this like weird, overwhelming sense of there's something here. There's a power that's here, but it's not like a bombastic power. Like I feel like when I go to places like in and around Salem, not just Salem, but like you know the around there, like Danvers and stuff like that. Also, Rhode Island and Maine has some witchiness to it too.
Oh yeah, I totally get that vibe too.
But it's like, but it's, but I don't know. And it's funny with like using descriptors, like I don't know how else to describe it aside from like that New England magic is like super bombastic. You know, if you're sensitive, you just freaking feel it. You know, New Orleans has that as well. Like it's just in your face power, you know. But in Mendocino, it was like a rumbling undertow, you know, where it was like something is different about this one spot.
That's so cool. Yeah, I'll have to look into that. Yeah, I just feel like, and that's the thing, part of my podcast is the escape part, because I want to eventually travel more and stuff, is just all these places have different pools, I feel like. And then it's a crazy different like feeling in the environment when you get there, and you're like, okay, I could feel something different in this city, or even just on the land, or, and I just think it's kind of a weird connection of like how different places kind of pull you to go, like you said, with the dream that you had to move to LA.
Right, isn't that so cool? Like years ago, I did a drive from Massachusetts down to Florida. And so there were a bunch of southern states that I had just never had an opportunity to experience before. And like, you know, Savannah, Georgia was just stunningly gorgeous.
Oh, I've heard that place is crazy beautiful
But
too.
yeah, it's beautiful. But then also there's a power there as well. And then I can't remember now specifically where I was driving through. I want to say that it was in West Virginia somewhere. And we were driving through land where there had been some huge war, and I can't remember, or huge battle, I'm sorry. And right now, I want to say it was a civil war, but it could have been revolutionary, but I'm not sure which. But any which way around, when we drove through that particular land, like we're driving along and it's beautiful. You know what I mean? There's green, like as far as you can see, and trees and mountains, and it should be peaceful and we should feel like really happy. But instead, we're driving along and my mom and I, we both got really strangely quiet. And we were, and she was like, how hungry are you? Do you need to stop immediately? And I was like, And I was like, well, I am kind of hungry, but this place is creeping me out and I do not want to get out of the car here. And he
Right.
was like, oh my God, thank God, same, you know? And then we started talking about it and we're like, you know, we know that there had been battles here. Like, are we feeling, you know, all of that pain and anguish and death from years prior? And that's sort of like, even though you look around and with your eyes, you see all this beauty and serenity, the feeling is different, you know?
Yeah.
And I find that so freaking fascinating.
Yeah, and that's great. And that would be just like one of those things that you're like, I just have this feel I shouldn't do this or I shouldn't go somewhere. Like an example, we were at I was with my mom and they were looking for a refrigerator for the new house that they were buying, and they were like, this guy was just there was something off about this guy, and I just had a weird feeling about him. Like, I think we should go somewhere else. And he was like, well, I could get your guys' address and everything and have it delivered by tomorrow. And we're like, okay. Well, then she ended up doing some research, and then that particular model or whatever wasn't available in that air in our area for like weeks. And I was like, I knew I had a bad vibe. I'm glad we didn't give him our
Right? Yeah,
information.
I know. And that's the thing. That is super key. Like, every time I have ever gotten into like really bad trouble, it's always because for whatever reason, I've dismissed my gut feeling.
Right.
You know, where it's like you start second guessing yourself, and it could be because, you know, maybe a loved one is pressuring you or you or whatever, you know what I mean? And so you like you do whatever the thing is that you feel like you shouldn't do, and then afterwards you're like, ah, damn it, I should have listened to my freaking gut about this, you know?
Exactly. So let's also talk about your books a little bit. So you have a book series that you've worked on or you're still working on right now?
Yeah, so I wrote a series. It's a trilogy, and that was something that I finished a while ago. That one's called Saramond, and that was sort of like a dark fantasy that I had written. There's a lot of witchcraft in there, but it's also very dark and erotic. So, warning label, you know. So that was one that I finished a little while ago, and then just recently, I finished another book called Starship Exodus, and it's a sci-fi story, but all of the characters have abilities like ours, you know?
Oh,
So
awesome.
I have one character, the main character, she's a technopath. So she can, you know, she can like link with technology just like I can link with you or I can link with a spirit, you know?
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I love the idea because I feel like there's a connection between like the two worlds of there and there's like a weird like I'm trying to think of any kind of sci-fi show like Stargate, how there's always kind of like a little bit of a like a science fiction, but also like a little bit of a psychic, kind of connection to him.
Oh, completely, and total. I mean, you know, and look at the number one, you know, sci-fi franchise in the world, Star Wars.
Oh yeah, exactly. That one too. The
You
Force and
know, like
all that. It's
all
like
of that stuff. Like when I was little, I was like, I'm totally a Jedi, like completely and totally. And to
right.
me, to this day, I'm like, Jedis are basically mediums and psychics.
Those
Right?
holograms
Exactly.
are Well, that's awesome. And then you're also working on jewelry right now. It looks like you have some spell bottle protection jars, and you're actually doing a couple more.
Yes, I do. I finally found six more little bottles. I'm sort of precious about my materials, so I don't like to just like, you know, buy bulk from random warehouse online. So I know I could make more sales if I did that, but I like to be kind of particular. And so yeah, I make these little spell bottles. So I was inspired because I have a lot of clients who ask for things like mojo bags, and that's something that I sort of, I don't advertise it, but I kind of quietly do it on the side. And I was thinking one day, I was like, you know, mojo bags are great, but I want something that's more, I don't know, exciting and interesting looking. And like, I love the way witch bottles look. Don't they just
Oh,
look
yeah.
freaking cool? So I was like, what if I could like take that idea, but like shrink it down really little and make it a necklace, because that way it's like decorative and, you know, fun to wear, but also is like jewelry and then with intention, you know, like it serves
Yeah.
a purpose. So
That's
yeah.
so awesome. And then you have a lot of your, like you said, you kind of source your own ingredients, and I'm guessing because you have a gar like you have your own garden area, so you get your own herbs and stuff too.
Oh, completely and totally. Yeah. And the super sad thing I'm facing right now is like my sage plant died.
Oh
And
no.
And I don't want to buy sage anymore. So I'm like, darn it.
I just collected all the rosemary I had growing and started collecting it and doing bundles and stuff. So I could
Oh,
re just to kind of keep around the house for that kind of reason too, because I don't like really like to use sage a whole lot.
right. Yeah, exactly.
And it's funny that you mentioned the whole like getting your own your own materials and making sure they're kind of sourced, ethically and stuff. I had this crazy dream. It's actually been in this reoccurring place. I don't know if it's up someplace I keep going, like on the astral plane or something, but it's like a witchcraft craft store. But it's all like local and I guess like different countries and stuff, but it's all like, small businesses bring their stuff in there. And this is this weird place I keep seeing. But the one times I ran it into you there teaching a class, and then you're like, okay, get all your materials, let's go to my place and I'm making vegan pretzels or something like that. It was so funny. So I'm like, I can't wait to tell her about this.
That's so awesome. You know what's really weird that you brought that up? Literally last night, I was Googling vegan pretzel delivery.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Like, I'm not even joking that you know my history.
That's so funny. Oh my God. But yeah, and in your classes, I took one of your classes. I wish I could have stuck around and take all the ones that you're offering, but you'll start picking those up again next year, I'm guessing.
Yes, yeah. I'm taking a little hiatus right now just because I want to like well, one, I hurt my stupid shoulder.
Oh
So
no.
yeah, so it's just one of those things where it's like it's good to just take time off and heal,
Oh yeah.
but also like this year has been freaking crazy. And so I'm like taking a little time out to just to do some like little like spiritual like fine tuning.
Right.
But I'm planning for next year. As soon as the holidays are over, I have really big plans for next year. I'm going to launch more products on Etsy. And I think, just as a quick side note about that, I think before the holidays, I'm going to try to get my wands up there. I don't know
Oh,
if I can
cool.
get them up fast enough for Christmas. Probably not, but I do want to get those up soon. But also for the classes, I'm definitely going to bring back my psychic development circle at some point. But before I bring that back, I'm thinking about offering a mediumship series via Zoom.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah, because like I've taught them in person before, and you know, obviously in-person classes are like, you know, if I could do those, I would choose them in a heartbeat. But all of this stuff is energy. You
Yeah.
know, so like it's totally possible to do this stuff over things like Zoom. And so I'm sort of like retooling my entire series to be able to present it on Zoom. And I'm hoping to get that up and running by January or February next year.
Oh, that would be nice. I'm definitely gonna have to look into that one too. Because I like I said, I do. It's like having a hard time connecting specifically to people. Like I keep calling out to specific people. I'm like, I'm still not getting the same, like the information that I usually get from just talking to my own guys. So I'm like,
Right,
it's
right.
all like it's a whole another ball game. So that'd be fun to kind of get into.
Yeah, and as a quick side note, I don't know if you've tried this before, but sometimes if I'm having trouble contacting a spirit, because like you said, there is something very, very different between working with your own spirit guides versus consciously and actively attempting to communicate with someone who's passed on for yourself or for someone else. And it's definitely, I don't want to say harder because that's not really the word. It's trickier, I guess, is the better word. So one thing that I do sometimes, like if I'm in the middle of a mediumship reading and someone, you know, has obviously paid, you know, really good money for this, if I feel like I'm not getting a connection before I will, you know, refund their money, I will call on my spirit guide and I will say like, "Hey, Azul," that's my guide's name, and he doesn't mind sharing it because he's kind of pompous, but my spirit guide, he'll be like, I'll be like, "Hey, Azul, like, can you do me a favor? I'm having a really tough time trying to contact this person. Can you try to find them and bring them to me and translate for them if they don't speak English, or you know, or whatever needs to happen, or like boost their vibe so that we can like, you know, click, you know?"
Okay, yeah.
And without fail, I would say 9 times out of 10, that works. That does
Okay,
the trick.
awesome.
Yeah.
I'll also try that. Thank you so much. And then everybody could find you on Instagram, American Witch 13, all one word. And then that'll have links to your Etsy shop and to all the classes you'll be giving sooner next I guess next month already. It's this year's
Yeah,
almost over.
I
But thank you so much, Melissa. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you so much.
And
Thank you
then,
for having me.
yeah, you're welcome. And I'm definitely gonna, keep listening to your podcast, and I'll try to take some more classes when you get them going again.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you. Have a good day, and I'll let you know when this is up.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to today's episode. You can find Melissa St. Hilaire at AmericanWitch13 on Instagram. There you could find her links to her Etsy page and all of her other offerings she has, from her books and her Patreon. You could find me at Gemini Moonhouse on Instagram.